Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is Tricia Torrey, Every Patient's Advocate, here with Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities. We're on the topic of healthcare reform. Just as we took a break for the news, we were talking about rationing and how healthcare is paid for. Let's cover more about this healthcare is paid for, because I think people would be really surprised at some of these statistics, Dr. Eastwood.
Well, healthcare is paid for in a lot of different ways in this country. I think we all appreciate that. About 30% of us are covered by some existing government, federal government supported program, like the VA or Medicare, or a whole range of things that are available for people.
So that's like almost one out of every three people are covered by a single payer system.
That's correct.
And yet what we hear is that people are opposed to a single payer system. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, some people are opposed. It's interesting. The latest we know from studies look at what the American doctors are thinking, actually, interestingly, the majority, about 60% of American physicians, favor a single payer system or a governmental system of some sort to be included, not exclusive.
Not exclusively, but I find in my conversations with doctors, and you might agree or disagree with this, but one of the reasons they cite for that is because so much of their income is spent on paying billing personnel that wouldn't be needed if we went into an all single payer system.
Yeah, the exact figures are hard to get at, but many people think about 20% or so of the healthcare dollar is spent on some bureaucracy
Yes,
of some sort.
Exactly. It's a fascinating conversation. The I think most people are really surprised to find out what their healthcare really costs them. If they ever broke it down, the ones who have the most realistic understanding, I think, are the folks who've been employed, have been laid off, and have been told they can get COBRA coverage, and then find they have to pay for the whole thing out of pocket and find out how horribly expensive that is.
Yeah, when COBRA, that stands for the Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act,
yes.
And from that name you wouldn't necessarily think it was healthcare, but from that act, which was in 1986, there were some good things,
mm-hmm.
that people could be laid off and retain their coverage for a while. But the real downer, as you point out, is that when they're laid off, their employer, former employer, doesn't have to pay that portion, and that's a huge increase in their own premiums.
It is. They find out what the employer has been paying on their behalf all this time. But, you know, there are some other drivers as far as the cost of is concerned, and one that always fascinates me is the idea of longevity. And so the person who might have died of a heart attack at the age of 48 is right. kept alive, right. now develops cancer in his 60s, and that costs all of us. It costs the system. And yet, I don't think any of us would argue that that's not a cost worth bearing.
Yeah. Well, I'm all for longevity. But, you know, we're just talking about costs, I guess the best thing for us to do would be to drop dead after we stop working.
Yes.
And that basically is what the old Social Security and Medicare, you know, were assuming.
Yes.
That people would not live quite so long. But we are living longer. And, you know, the recent figures about the cost of life in the last 6 months is that for Medicare, anyway, about 30% of Medicare costs are in the collective last 6 months of life.
Right, right. And so when we hear the terms death panels and kinds of things, even though those I don't think could ever come to be, that's the kind of thing that people are referring to, is the fact that so much expense is in those last few months
yeah.
of life. You know,
well, on that subject, although I don't work for Newsweek, I take it.
yep.
I'm a little annoyed sometimes with Newsweek. But in the most recent issue of Newsweek, September 21, they talk about this in a very rational way, and I would recommend that.
Yes, they do. And what is it, the case for killing granny, isn't
yeah,
that what they
right,
call it?
Right,
yeah,
right,
yeah,
yeah,
something like that. But I don't want anybody to take that title as something that is actually going to happen. Another thing that I also think that people are unaware of is how reimbursements work. And mm-hmm. this really bothers me. When you want to talk about ethics, as I say to people, I don't know of any other profession in the world where you can charge something as a business owner, and then somebody else negotiates a variety of pricing that you're really worth. And so a doctor charges $100 for you to go in, say, for a checkup, all right? One insurer will reimburse him $50 for that. Another one will reimburse him $30 for that. Another one might reimburse him $60. In the meantime, the government might only reimburse him $10. But if I go myself and I don't have any kind of coverage, he'll still bill me that $100.
Yeah.
And I don't think people understand that that's the kind of negotiation that goes on.
Yeah. Well, there are thousands of negotiations.
Sure, there
literally are. Literally thousands.
Yep.
And each one of them is slightly different. And I think that contributes to the confusion and also the increase in cost.
Yes, and I also think it's one of those reasons, going back to why some doctors would say they favor that single-payer system, they wouldn't have to be doing all of that. Here's a good question, and this is actually a question you posed, and I'm going to take the liberty of reading it. Are those who have coverage happy with the care they're receiving?
Well, most people are. You know, we talk about the 47 million people who don't have coverage, and that's about 15% of our population. That means, you know, 85% of our population is covered. So most people, if you ask them, say they're happy. But then when you probe that, and again, this has been probed, people are beginning more and more to be concerned about the rising cost of premiums, out-of-pocket expenses, mm-hmm. rising costs of drugs. Now, they're worried about hassles in the system, having to call up and so on, worried about the quality of care. And we talked about this is mostly a cost issue, but still there's an issue of quality of care.
But the quality is definitely affected by the cost, because as the cost goes up and reimbursements go down, I get less time with my doctor. Mm-hmm. You cannot maintain the same level of quality when you have less time.
Well, that would be reasonable, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, in this state, in New York, we do pay a lot of attention from a state level to quality, at least outcomes. What are the outcomes of infections, of cardiac care, that sort of thing, in hospitals, not in doctors' offices? So that's quality. But I think also patients sometimes confuse quality with satisfaction. When they go to the doctor or the hospital, are they satisfied? And then that gets conflated with quality.
And, you know, that's an excellent point. You know, as I said to you earlier, if I go to the doctor and I've got to lose 20 pounds and the doctor says, here's a pill, take it tonight, mm-hmm. and you'll lose them by tomorrow, I am really satisfied. But that's not necessarily good quality, and it's not good for me. So there is a big difference between quality of care and satisfaction levels. I think you're absolutely on the right track with that one. But it also, though, it also goes to questions about, are we healthier? Mm-hmm. We have to look at this question of how many people are getting care. Are we, as a body, as a large population, healthier, or are we losing ground there?
Well, we're not healthier than most other advanced countries. In fact, we, in terms of life expectancy, which is the, you know, when you're born in 2009, how many years do you expect to live? And right now it's about 79 or so years for new babies. But we rank number 30 in the country behind...
Or in the world.
In the world,
that's right. Yeah.
30 in the world behind most Scandinavian and European countries.
That have single-payer...
That's right.
...healthcare. And these are statistics that are not done by Americans or Europeans. These are statistics done by the World Health Organization.
That's right. There are other measurements. How about... chance of dying in your first 5 years. Again, in the United States, the under five mortality rate is about 8 per 1,000 live births.
Okay.
But that compares less well with Singapore, Sweden, Norway, Denmark, a few other countries, which are less than 5. Now you can say, what's the difference between 5 and 8? Well, it's 3 lives.
It's 3 lives. Yeah. And if one of those babies is your baby, then that's 100% of the lives.
That's right.
That's right. It is. It's a fascinating study to learn. And yet we have to look at these as the bigger statistics. We go back to that question of, are people who have coverage now, are they happy with the care they're getting? Mm-hmm. And they would tell you, yes. I think in a lot of cases, they don't understand how tentative that is either. Right. You might have great coverage today and be laid off tomorrow, and your coverage would be different. You might think you have really good coverage, but people are finding out every day that they don't have the coverage they thought they had. There are also people finding out they had caps on their insurance that they never realized existed. And so when we go to your ethical questions and then the business questions, we have to balance. Well, the reason you have that coverage is because that's what the insurer can afford to give you. Yeah. They are asking you to ration care yourself when you choose the insurer you want to have.
So here's the big ethical question right now before the American public. How can we do the most good, beneficence, mm-hmm. and avoid the least, and make have the least harm, non-maleficence, for the most people?
Yeah.
And here's the real cruncher, and still preserve what we perceive for many of us who have health insurance, an already good system.
An already good system, and the autonomy and justice that
That's
we need
right.
to have,
That's
too.
Right.
Your four original words, all good questions. You know, just briefly, I'd like to touch on some of these other countries that have better outcomes in mm-hmm. general than we do. Do we know how they handle health care? Or do we know that all of them are single payer, or only some of them?
Well, there's a whole variety of methods. They all have universal health care insurance. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So people theoretically have access, even people who don't have legal citizenship in some of those countries. In England, for example, if they provide care for everybody, even if you're visiting there. But the way they do it is different. Some of them are just a straight single-payer system. Others are combinations of public and private and so on.
Right.
But the bottom line is that everybody has some access to health care.
They do. And even in those that have a single-payer system, I believe most of them have access if you want to. And I align it mostly with Medicare Advantage. I explain it to seniors that way. You have Medicare, but if you want to, you can buy this extra care. That preserves their autonomy as well.
Yeah, we're not talking about eliminating the insurance industry.
No, we are not. We're talking about a combination system.
That's right.
Dr. Eastwood, we've run out of time. Great conversation. We have some other big questions that we want to address when you come back in October. We're going to talk about what some of those are. And we have some questions to pose to people. If we look at it one way for all of us versus if we look at it a different way for, say, a prisoner or an illegal immigrant or someone coming to this country. And so we look forward to your return in October.
I'm looking forward to that too.
And listeners, we will be back in just a few moments. Please stay with us. This is Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.